Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Ayin Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Ayin Alf Amud Beis. We are in the sixth parak here of Pesachim. The theme of the sixth parak is the intersection of Karban Pesach and Shabbos. What happens when the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos? The first Mishnah of this parak is taking us all the way back to Samachay Amud Beis. So that Mishnah gives us the baseline halacha, which is that the Karban Pesach is going to be Docha Shabbos. We have a Moed. We have an appointed time in which we have to shech the Karban Pesach, the 14th day of Nisan, and therefore if it coincides with Shabbos, it's going to override the Shabbos. With that stated, our Mishnah continues along the idea of the repercussions of Shabbos and Pesach coinciding with one another, and our Mishnah is going to be dealing with the issue of Chil Shabbos. What happens if, let's say, the Karban Pesach is not shechted appropriately? And what kind of Chil Shabbos is a person facing? As per usual, when the Mishnayos talk about Chil Shabbos, the Mishnayos start talking about in the context of Shogeg. That means to say that a person violates Shabbos not willfully, but inadvertently. In other words, it was accidental is not the best way to describe it. He didn't violate Shabbos accidentally. He violated Shabbos. It's just he wasn't fully cognizant of either it was Shabbos or that which what he was doing is prohibited. So under those circumstances, so that's called a shogeg, and when we're talking about the violation of Shabbos, since Shabbos is an Isser, Karis have done intentionally, so therefore have done the shogeg, so a person has to bring a Karban Chatas. Our Mishnah and our Gemara today, it's going to be a lot of Gemara today, but our Mishnah and our Gemara today is going to be focusing on a really interesting topic that comes up a number of times throughout Shas, and that is the idea of Tohu B'Dvar Mitzvah. Tohu B'Dvar Mitzvah is where a person is doing something which is a violation of Shabbos, however, it is in the course of trying to do a mitzvah, and so therefore that may give him some excuse in terms of his actions. It does not legitimize his actions, but at least it can excuse his actions to the point in which he no longer has to bring a Karban Pesach. This is the topic of Tohu B'Dvar Mitzvah, and here we begin. We start with the Mishnah. A Pesach sheshechtu shelo lishmo b'Shabbos chayav alav chata. So, you take a Karban Pesach and you shecht it shelo lishmo. You shecht it with the intent of it becoming another carbon, a shlamim or whatever other carbon. So that means to say now that the Karban Pesach is going to be disqualified. As a result of that, the shechita that you did is not an allowable shechita. Therefore, you violated Shabbos. Therefore, you're chayav a Karban Chatas. That's the first case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah, shar kol hazvachim sheshechtu l'shem Pesach. Let's say we have any other carbon that we shecht it l'shem Pesach. So again, it's Erev Pesach, it's the 14th day of Nisan, it coincides with Shabbos, and you take another carbon, it wasn't the carbon Pesach, and you shecht l'shem Pesach. And so under those circumstances, now it's a violation of Shabbos, meaning you don't have a right to do so, you have no allowance to do so. So it depends, says the Mishnah. Im einan ru'uyin chayav. Let's say the animal that you took is just simply an animal that's not eligible to be brought. It's the carbon Pesach. It was a cow, it was a bull. So under those circumstances, so now there really is no excuse in terms of why it is that you're shechting l'shem Karban Pesach, and so therefore it's a violation of Shabbos, and therefore you're going to be chayav Karban Chatos for having violated Shabbos. Im ru'uyin hay. Now let's say the animal that was in question was actually something that could have been brought as a Karban Pesach. It just happens to have been that it was already set aside as another type of carbon. So here now we're here. Meaning, at this point at the Mishnah now, consider what's going on. You took an animal that was designated as another carbon. You're trying to shecht it as a Karban Pesach. Obviously, you cannot redirect the animal as a Karban Pesach. Once an animal is mukdash as one particular type of carbon, you cannot reassign it as another type of carbon. You shecht l'shem Karban Pesach. You did so on Shabbos. You did not really have an allowance to do so. You didn't have an allowance to do so because, again, it's not a Karban Pesach. So you did, in fact, violate Shabbos. Are you chayav a Karban Chatas? So here, Rabbi Eliezer mechayav Chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter. So here we have a disagreement amongst the Tanaim in terms of whether or not you have to bring a Karban Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says you do, meaning you violated Shabbos. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you don't. You're poter. Now, this position, Rabbi Yeshua, obviously requires some thought. And it's really interesting. And let's see the Mishnah go over the back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, ma'im ha-pesach shu mutar l'shmo kishishina l'shmo chayev. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, let's make an argument, a really strong argument. And that is that, look, when we have a Karban Pesach and I try to reassign it on that Erev Pesach to another Karban, and again, we're talking about a 14th day of Nisan coming out on Shabbos, and I try to reassign it as another Karban, and in doing so, now you violate Shabbos. That's the first case of our Mishnah. So zvachim shein asurim lishman kishishin etshman eino din sheyechayev. So if I take another carbon and I try to read the direct as a carbon Pesach. So under those circumstances, aren't for sure, am I not going to be chayev? So the Kal v'chomer, Rebbe Eliezer, seems to be very strong, is that if I took a carbon Pesach and try to reassign it as another carbon, you're chayev a carbon chatas. If I took another carbon altogether and reassigned it as a carbon Pesach, you for sure should be chayev a carbon chatas. So I'm only Rebbe Yoshua, Allah. So Rebbe Yoshua says, I dismiss that argument. So look, if I'm taking carbon Pesach and I'm redirecting it as another carbon, like, you had no justification to do that. There was no, that action was perfectly inexcusable. And that's why you're going to be chayav carbon chatas. However, Tomer bezvachim shishinam bedavar amutar, but if I took another carbon on Erev Pesach and I try to assign it as a carbon Pesach, so there it's excusable. Meaning, what is it? So now we get to use the term. It's toa b'dvar mitzvah. Meaning, what is everyone doing right now in the Beis HaMikdash on this particular day? So everyone's trying to offer Karm Pesach. So I try to do it as well. Now again, I did it totally unsuccessfully because I took another carbon, which was already assigned as another carbon, and I try to redirect it as a Karm Pesach, but understand, everybody is trying to be involved in the Karm Pesach. I'm trying to be involved in the Karm Pesach. So it is toa b'dvar mitzvah. It is an excusable action in that it's perfectly understandable what I was trying to do. Now, it's excusable, it's not allowable. I made this point already, but let's make it again. Meaning, Torah B'dvar Mitzvah does not permit the activity. It's obviously still wrong. Well, another carbon cannot be redirected, reassigned as a carbon Pesach. However, at least to the extent in which it's understandable what you were trying to do because you were trying to do a mitzvah. So this is what's called Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. And so therefore, at least it's excusable enough so that you don't have to bring a carbon chatas for the action in which you did. Amalei Rebbe Eliezer, continuing back in the Mishnah, more dialogue between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yoshua on this issue. Amalei Rebbe Eliezer, Imur Tzibur Yochichu. Well, let's take a look at, now, I know the Mishnah says the word Imurim, and I know we are trained that we think about the parts of the carbon that go up onto the Mizbech, but that's not what it means over here. Imurim over here just simply means carbonos that are brought on Shabbos, right? Imurim over here from the word Omer, that which is stated. Imur Tzibur Yochichu, well, let's talk about a regular carbon tamid. Shein Mutam Lishman, so it's Mutal Lishman, V'ashoch Lishman Chayev. If I took another carbon and shechted it as a carbon tamid on Shabbos, so what would you say over there? Chayev or Putter? So Amalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, there I agree, you'd be chayev. Lo. But Rabbi Yeshua says, but over there, I'll tell you why I'd say you're chayev. Because im amart be mori tzibur sheish lo kitzvah, tamar bepesach shein lo kitzvah. Rabbi Yeshua says, again, let's analyze this idea of Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Torah b'dvar mitzvah means that you get a bit of a pass over the fact that you're trying to do a mitzvah. Let's talk about the carbon tzibur of Shabbos. Notably, the tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel bein arbayim. So how many animals are we talking about? The answer, of course, is two. We're talking about two animals, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And now I took another carbon and I try to offer non-Shabbos as a carbon tamid. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll tell you why you don't get a pass over there. Yeshlam kitzvah. How many carbonos are we talking about? Two carbonos. Like how involved am I right now to try to bring the carbon tamid where all I could do is just simply ask a couple of questions. Was the carbon tamid offered? Because it's really only two to keep track of. And not only is it only two to keep track of, it's one in the morning and one in the afternoon. It's not that hard to keep track of. A person takes another carbon, checks it as a carbon tamid on Erev Pesach. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. Because there's only two to keep in mind. And again, it's even more simplified because it's one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So Rabbi Yeshua says that's not Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. Torah B'dvar Mitzvah is Erev Pesach, the hustle and bustle of Erev Pesach. Everybody's there in the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone shechting carbon Pesach. You're involved in the action. Remember, right? Even Yisraelim are shechting the carbon Pesach, like we said in the fifth parak. And now you take an animal. You don't know what it is. Meaning, you thought it was a carbon Pesach. Meanwhile, it was another carbon. You thought it was a carbon Pesach. He shechted as a carbon Pesach. So there, that's Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. That is excusable. You're not going to bring a carbon chatzos over there because that's Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. Ain lo kitzvah. There just simply is no way to really fully keep track of what's going on over here. That's Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. That's enough of an excuse to give you a pass from having to bring a carbon chatas. Good. So we've just gone over in the Mishnah, the back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer seemingly does not have at all a concept of Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. And over the course of today's daf, I'll make that point a couple of times. It certainly sounds like Rabbi Eliezer dismisses the entire idea out of hand. Where on the other hand, Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, there is a concept of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Now, we just learned together that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, there is a limitation, meaning you can't shecht another carbon as a Tamid Shel Shachar and say, oh, I was trying to shecht as a Tamid Shel Shachar. No, that's not Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. That's Yeshel Kitzvah. That's something that you could have easily kept track of. But something like the Karban Pesach, where hundreds, thousands of Jews in the Azara trying to shecht Karban Pesach, you take an animal, shecht as Karban Pesach, meanwhile it wasn't a Karban Pesach, so that's Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, you're not going to have to bring a Karban Chatas over that action. Again, we're talking about where the 14th coincides with Shabbos. Rabbi Meir Omer, and now finishing up the Mishnah, there actually is a third Shita amongst Tanayim. And that is Shita's Rabbi Meir. And as we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, Rabbi Meir is most open to the idea of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir has the widest berth of definition of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Afa Shochei, L'Shemi Muri Tzibur Pater. Rabbi Meir says, look, a person is trying to shecht another carbon as a carbon tamid on Shabbos, you know what? He's going to get a pass for having to bring a carbon chatas. Why? Because that's also Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Even though there are only two carbon tamids brought daily, and even though there's one only in the morning, Rabbi Meir says that's also a case of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. So what we have over here are three opinions in the Mishnah regarding Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer does not subscribe to it whatsoever. Rabbi Yehoshua does in fact subscribe to Torah Bidvar Mitzvah, but limited. And Rabbi Meir has the most expansive definition of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. We're going to come back as most of today's daf is going to revolve around this topic of Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. We're going to continue, however, right now in the Mishnah. Shachru shlo la'ochlav, shlo limnuyav la'arelu t'meilim chayav. Let's say again, it's 14th of Nisan, coinciding with Shabbos. You shechti karban Pesach for non-consumers. Somebody who physically can't eat it, somebody who was not registered, a group that was not registered, a group that weren't circumcised, or a group that were tamei. Under those circumstances, you have violated Shabbos because you shechted a carbon Pesach on behalf of non-consumers. The shechita that you have done does not qualify as a good shechita. Therefore, what have you done on Shabbos? The answer is violated Shabbos. Again, all this is b'shogeg, and so you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas. Le'ochlav v'shlo, le'ochlav l'mnuyav v'shlo l'mnuyav, l'mulamula arelam, l'tameh l'taharim potter. If, however, you have in mind on this Shabbos, Erev Pesach, you have in mind a group that is a composite of consumers and non-consumers, so then the shechita is going to be good, which means that you're going to be exempt from having to bring a karban chatas. Shechtu v'nimtza ba'amum chayiv. Let's say you shecht the karban Pesach, turns out to be a blemish, physical blemish that is visible from the outside of the animal. So you're going to be chayiv a karban chatas. You should have checked the animal prior to have shechted the animal. A mum, a physical blemish on an animal that disqualifies it as a karban, is visibly evident from the outside. So therefore, you shouldn't have shechted it. You did. So now you're going to be chayv a karban chatas. Shechtu v'nimtza treifa b'seiser pater. If let's say you shecht the animal and then after doing internal investigations of the organs inside the animal, turns out that the animal is in fact a treifa, you didn't know that prior to the shechita pater. So you're going to be exempt, you're going to be excused altogether from having bring the karban chatas. You did what you were supposed to do. There's no way of knowing that an animal is going to be a treifa prior to you shechting the animal. Now, sometimes you do know, but most of the time, generally speaking, you don't know, and so therefore you don't bring a karban chatas. Shachtu v'no d'shemashku abalam esyadamo shemesu shenidmu pater min meshashach abershus. Let's say after having checked the karban Pesach again on this Shabbos, so it turns out now that everyone who registered unregistered, just nobody told you. Or all the owners of the animal died. Or the owners of the animal became tamei. And again, you didn't know this information. So pater min meisha shachav rishus. Under those circumstances, you will be exempt because of what you did. You shechted it under what you thought were legitimate circumstances. It turns out but you only discovered it afterwards that you didn't have the right to shecht the karban Pesach, but because at the time of the shechita you thought it was good, so then you are going to be exempt from having to bring the karban chatas. We're in the very top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We're starting with the Gemara. Let's take a look at the very first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah, Yishef the Karban Pesach, Shelo Lishmo, where you had another carbon in mind. Now, B'maya Eskin, the Gemara's question over here is really straightforward, and that is, can we have a little more clarity on this case over here in the Mishnah, which is Ilema Betoa, where you just simply you made a mistake, meaning Toa over here just simply means that you weren't trying to reassign it, it's just that haphazardly, you thought it was another carbon. You just simply made a mistake. So shamas mina akira betalas havi akira. Well, the Gemara says, well, this touches on actually a major debate that takes place in Menachos, and that's the following. If you don't intentionally try to reassign an animal, so will it be reassigned? Now, again, a carbon will not be reassigned. A carbon does not get reassigned. But this idea of a shinui shmo, where you have another carbon in mind, is that only when you're intentionally trying to reassign it? Or is that going to be under the circumstances where, even if it was unintentional, it was just simply absentmindedly you try to reassign it? So the Gemara Menachos raises this issue, discusses, debates this issue. And now that Gemara Menachos never brings up our Mishnah as a proof one way or another. So the Gemara therefore says, Ela ba'okir. So I'll tell you what. The simplest way to explain our Mishnah is that you were okir. You intentionally tried to reassign it to another carbon. You knew it was a carbon Pesach. You tried to offer it as a carbon shlamin or any other type of carbon, a carbon ola. So so our Mishnah is talking about a case of akira. Again, the reason why the Gemara knows this is because this Mishnah over here never came up in that Gemara Menachos in terms of weighing in on the issue of a akira betalos. So therefore, we're going to assume that our Mishnah is talking about where you were okir. Fine. In Masefa, the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what. It doesn't follow through with the rest of the Mishnah. Because look at the next case of the Mishnah. Ushar kol hazvachim sheshachim l'shem ha-Pesach. You take another carbon, trying to offer it as a carbon Pesach. Im ein ru'u yin chayav. So if it's a cow, something that just simply cannot be offered as a carbon Pesach, that is inexcusable. However, im ru'u yin hein, if the animal was in fact fit to be offered as a carbon Pesach, it just happened to have been that it was already designated as another type of carbon. So Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos Rabbi Yeshua poter. So here we have the debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says, but wait one second. E be'oker, but if we're going to follow through that the ukimta of the Mishnah is akira, where you are intentionally trying to reassign it, so the Gemara says, wait one second. Think about it. Mali ru'uyin, mali she'enan ru'uyin. What difference would it make whether or not it's the kind of animal that could be offered as a carbon Pesach or it's the kind of animal that cannot? If you are fully aware of the fact that it is, in fact, another carbon, and you're trying to reassign it as a carbon Pesach, so under those circumstances, why would Rabbi Yeshua say that you're putter? That's a toa bitvar mitzvah. You know full well it's another carbon. So under those circumstances, if we're talking about where you're oker, so Rabbi Yeshua would say that you were chayev. So elab shita betoa, so that case has to be talking about where it was just simply a mistake. It has to be. Otherwise, what's the difference between whether the animal is fit as a carbon Pesach or not fit as a carbon Pesach? So the Gemara says, okay, so the problem is the following. The ukimtas of the Mishnah do not match. Reisha ba'okir v'seifa betoa. So the first case of the Mishnah, as we just established, is talking about where you were okir. You intentionally tried to reassign it. You knew it was a carbon Pesach. You intentionally tried to reassign it as another carbon. That's okir. But the second case of the Mishnah, where it was another carbon that you're trying to offer as a carbon Pesach, that has to be a case of taos. Because again, if it's a case of oker, no difference between whether it was fit to be offered as a carbon Pesach or not fit to be offered as a carbon Pesach. So we have simply it doesn't match in our Mishnah, the ukimtas, first case of the Mishnah being a case of akira, second case being a case of toa. So I'm Rabbi Ab, so Reisha Ba'okir v'Sefer B'Toa, and the Gemara just simply does not like the inconsistencies. How can you have first case being Oker and the second case being case of Toa? So I'm Rabbi Avin in. So Rabbi Avin says, look, there's no other way to say it. Yes, simply yes. The first case is Oker, second case is Toa. Reisha Ba'okir v'Sefer B'Toa, Ashkechei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Le Rabbi Abau Davikai Be'uchlusu De'inshei. So Rabbi Yitzchak found Rabbi Abau surrounded by a large entourage, Amalei Masisamai, and the question is, how did you understand our Mishnah? So Amalei Reisha Ba'okir v'Sefer B'Toa, just like we got done saying, first case of the Mishnah is talking about Akira, second case is talking about Taos. So Tani Minei Arben Zimen V'Damalei Kaman Daman Chabekisei. Chazed it over 40 times and wanted to make sure that he really knew the Mishnah, so that 40 times he learned it from the Rebbe. Yes, first case in our Mishnah is Akira, second case is Toa, and v'chalila, and he goes over it again and again, and good, and eventually it's in his pocket. He totally has it. Good, a quick Musar Vort in terms of chazara. Let's continue in the Gemara Tanan. I'm Rabbi Eliezer. So we have just established now, right, just repeat it 40 times now. But we just established now that in our Mishnah, first case is Akira, second case is Toa. The Gemara says, is that really going to work as we work our way through the rest of the Mishnah? And the Gemara now is going to go through the rest of the Mishnah again to see whether or not this in fact works out. Tananam Rabbi Eliezer Mayim Pesach Shemutal Lishmal Kishashina and Shmal Chayev. Zvachim Sheini Morim Lishmal Kishashina and Shmal. Eino Din Shei Chayev. We're going over the argument that Rabbi Eliezer presents to Rabbi Yoshua. If I take a carbon Pesach, try to redirect it, you're going to be Chayev a carbon Chatas. If I take another carbon, try to redirect it as a carbon Pesach, how much more so you're going to be Chayev? That's the argument. So now, as we just got done learning and reviewing, right? Not 40 times, but as we got done reviewing, the first case of the Mishnah is Akira, second case of the Mishnah is Toa. So that means to say that the first case and the second case are not comparable. So how can Rabbi Eliezer make an argument? Well, look at the first case, look at the second case. If it's true in the first case, it's certainly true in the second case. But meanwhile, what we just established is apples and oranges. First case is talking about the case of Oker. Second case is talking about Toa. They're not comparable. Le Rabbi Eliezer, lo shani lei. So the Gemara says that's true that for Rabbi Yoshua it matters, but for Rabbi Eliezer it doesn't matter. Remember, for Rabbi Eliezer, he does not subscribe to the concept of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. So as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, it really doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, le Rabbi Yoshua, lo shani lei, lishne le hachi. The Bach takes out the word hachi, but the point is still the same. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So for Rabbi Eliezer, the challenge is really strong. But for Rabbi Yoshua, isn't there a built-in defense to his position? Meaning for Rabbi Yoshua, there is going to be a difference between Oker and Toa. So can't Rabbi Yoshua just simply say, look, the first case of the Mishnah is talking about Oker, so there you're going to be Chayav HaKarban Chatas. Second case of the Mishnah is talking about Toa, and I subscribe to the idea of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Why didn't Rabbi Yoshua just simply mount that as a defense? That's a really good defense. So hachi kamar lei lidi di lo dami reisha ba'oker v'seifa b'toa. So the Gemara says that's built into the defense of Rabbi Yoshua. Look, Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, look, as far as I'm concerned, I subscribe to Toa b'dvar mitzvah. The first case of the Mishnah is talking about where you were oker. Second case was talking about Toa. I already have an answer to your question because I see the difference between the two cases. However, lidi t'chalo, but you don't hold of Toa b'dvar mitzvah. And I know you're not going to accept my answer. So I still have an answer to your challenge. Im amar bePesach Shishina Shmol LeDvar HaAsur, Tamar bZvachim Shishina Shmol LeDvar HaMutar. But still, can't you see a difference between trying to take a carbon Pesach and redirecting it as another carbon versus taking another carbon trying to redirect it as a carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash when everyone's doing carbon Pesach? Like, can't you see the difference? Okay. So what Rabbi Yoshua, as now we're understanding in the Mishnah, already has a built-in answer based on his own shita of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah, but vis-a-vis the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, he wanted an answer that would hopefully satisfy Rabbi Eliezer. It doesn't, but now we understand better the dialogue. Continuing in the Mishnah, meaning now we're going to go over the next round of the Mishnah. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, Imur Tzibur Yochich, Hashem Mutam Lishman, Vishoch Lishman, Chayev. Amar Lo, Rabbi Yoshua, Lo, Imamad, Bimur Tzibur, Sheken Yishlam Kitzvah, Tomer Bepesach, Shein Lam Kitzvah. So in the second round of argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what if you shecht an animal as a carbon tamid on Shabbos? So are you gonna get a pass, yes or no? So Rabbi Yeshua says, I agree with you, you don't get a pass over there. But that's different because that, yeshel kitzvah. There are only two animals in which to look at for the carbon tamid. And again, not even two animals. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. So you can easily keep track of that. And that's not going to be a case of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Okay, now, lememer dechol hecha di islei kitzvah mechayv Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, so what did we just learn? That Rabbi Yoshua's Toa Bidvar Mitzvah is limited. If it's a case where it's easy to keep track of things, so then Rabbi Yoshua does not give you the patur of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's take a look at a comparable case. And that is, right, our favorite Gemara from the 19th parak of Shabbos, the two babies that you have to do a meal with on Shabbos. And I know it gets a little bit confusing, these cases over here, and I know we're going to go through it quickly. I apologize, but we're going to go through it quickly. So, Rabbi Mechai Vashur Vahare Tinokas Yishlam Kitzvah Devitznan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah and Shabbos in the 19th parak regarding the mitzvah of Mila, which is also overriding the Shabbos. And the Mishnah over there deals with Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Misha Yoshe Tinokas Echelamullah Achar Shabbos Vechelamullah B'Shabbos. A person, a Moel, has two babies to give a bris to. One where the bris was to occur on Shabbos. The other where the bris was to occur on Sunday. V'shachach umal et shel achar ha-Shabbos b'Shabbos. So now the mole takes the Sunday baby and one day early, meaning he takes that baby on Shabbos and does the meal on Shabbos. So chayev. He's going to be chayev, karban chatas. In other words, he had no right to do so. And consider the following. Right now, when did he give that baby a bris? On its seventh day, not on its eighth day. It's a milah shelo bizmano. It's not going to be a good milah. And so therefore, he violated Shabbos with no heter, with no mitzvah of milah. And so under those circumstances, you're going to be chayav. Echel amula be'erev Shabbos, ve'echel amula be'Shabbos. Now, let's take a case that's somewhat comparable, but with one small but important difference. And that's going to be the following. Let's say one baby had to have a bris on Friday, the other baby had to have a bris on Shabbos. V'shachach umal eshal erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. Now he takes the Friday baby and does the bris with it on Shabbos. Now it's the ninth day. Now even though it's milah shelo bizmano, but this is an acceptable one. Meaning doing the bris on day eight or any day after day eight is still going to be a mitzvah. And so therefore it happens to be that does not have an allowance to override the Shabbos. The only bris that has a right to override Shabbos is only milah bizmano. But at least over here you did a mitzvah. So Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're going to be chayev chatas because according to Rabbi Eliezer, he doesn't subscribe to toa bedvar mitzvah. Therefore you violated Shabbos. Oh, you were trying to do a mitzvah? Wonderful. I don't subscribe to toa bedvar mitzvah. And Rabbi Yeshua says you're poter. Why? Because Rabbi Yeshua subscribes to toa bedvar mitzvah. Meaning the moel gets a bit of a pass considering the fact that he's trying to do the mitzvah of milah. Admittedly, he didn't have the right to violate Shabbos, but toa bitvar mitzvah, he was trying to do a mitzvah. So, am Rabbi Ami Hacha b'maiskinan. So, sorry, before we get to the Gemara's answer, let's set up the question. The question over here actually is really clear, in that how many babies do we have to keep track of right now? The answer is two. So this is a clear case of kitzvah. There are only two babies to keep track of. And yet, Rabbi Yeshua says, this qualifies as toa bitvar mitzvah. So now the question is really good. In our Mishnah, when we're talking about shechting another carbon as a carbon tamid on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, you don't get a pass over there. Why? There are only two animals to keep track of. You don't have toa bitvar mitzvah. Over here, there are only two babies to keep track of. And yet Rabbi Yeshua says, you're going to be punter because he does subscribe to toa bitvar mitzvah, even though there are only two babies to keep track of. So Amar Rabbi Ami Hacha b'maiskin and kegon shekadam amal et shal erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, let's give a little more context to the cases, and we can then understand how Rabbi Yeshua over there says Pater. In the case of the Milah, so you took the Friday baby, and you gave it a bris on Shabbos. But you know what? The Mole still had the Shabbos baby to do, which means to say that when the Mole goes into that Shabbos, he does have, in fact, a legitimate heter to violate Shabbos. Not with the Friday baby, but at least with the Shabbos baby. So over there, he's going to get a pass because that moa going into Shabbos knows that he does have a bris that legitimately can be done on Shabbos. Now, it happens to be that he picked up the wrong baby and did the bris to the wrong baby, to the Friday baby, but at least over there, you understand there's an excuse in terms of why he's doing a milah. Ha'cha kagon shekadam v'shachtin le'imuri tzibar bereisha. As opposed to the case of our Mishnah of the Tamid Shel Shachar, you already shechted the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now you're trying to shecht another carbon as the Tamid Shel Shachar. Simply inexcusable. The Tamid Shel Shachar was already brought. So the Gemara says Yahachi. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Rabbi Meir Omer Afa Shochel Hashem Imurit Zibar Pater. So Rabbi Meir says that in the case of the Tamid, you're going to be Pater. Now Afa Gav Dekan V'Shachtin Imurit Zibar Bereisha. Now, wait one second. You mean to tell me that according to Rameir, if the case that we're dealing with in our Mishnah is that you already shechted the Tamid Shel Shachar, and now the Kohen's taking another carbon and trying to shecht it as the Tamid Shel Shachar. So again, you violated Shabbos. There was no heter to do so. And you want to tell me that Rameir in that case also is going to give him a pass? V'hatanya. Now, basically, what the Gemara is trying to do is trying to wrap its head around how wide a berth Rabbi Meir has regarding Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that case is not a case of Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Once the Tamid Shel Shachar was offered, so now there is simply no excuse for any Kohen to be taking another animal offering it as a carbon. But for Rabbi Meir, the Gemara is just basically amazed at the fact that even in that circumstance, Rabbi Meir says that you are going to be Pater. The Gemara says, how about the following Vehatanya? Don't we have the following Brisa? We saw this back in Shabbos in the 19th Perek, and now we're seeing it again over here in Psachim. Rabbi Chia Me'evil Erev. Rabbi Chia, who happens to come from this town, Am Rabbi Meir lo nechluku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua al shayu lo shnei tinokos echel amol erev Shabbos ve'echel amol b'Shabbos. Excuse me. Doesn't Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are not going to be arguing about the case of the two babies, where one was a Friday bris and the other one was a Shabbos bris. V'shachachum al eshalar Shabbos b'Shabbos dechayit. If I took the Friday baby and did the meal with it on Erev Shabbos, if I took the Friday baby and I did the bris with it on Shabbos, so under those circumstances, everybody agrees, meaning everybody here, meaning both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, that under those circumstances, you are going to be chayef. The debate is where you had two babies, a Shabbos baby and a Sunday baby. You took the Sunday baby and you mauled it on Shabbos to Rabbi Eliezer, Mechai v'chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mechai v'chamin chatas, Rabbi Yeshua says poter. Now, hopefully you've been following really well. You realize at this point in time, this is Rabbi Meir's presentation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. It's the exact opposite as we presented it just moments earlier in today's daf. And so here, in Friday Shabbos scenario, where you take the Friday baby, you shecht it on, shecht it. Right? Didn't mean to say that. And you mauled, but totally understandable why I said that. And you mauled it on Shabbos. So there, according to Rabbi Meir's version, there's no debate over there. You're chayv v'karben chatas. In the case where you had Shabbos Sunday baby, and the mole took the Sunday baby and mauled it on Shabbos, so there you're going to be pater. So now, the Gemara says, if you think, it's hard to even understand what the svar is over here in this version, in Rabbi Meir's version. The Tizbra, the Gemara, immediately reacts to this version. Ma hasam delo avin mitzvah pater Rabbi Yeshua hechad deka avin mitzvah mechayev? I can't be. Meaning, in the case where you took the Sunday baby, you did the bris on Shabbos, you didn't even fulfill the mitzvah. And Rabbi Yeshua says, that's tov b'dvar mitzvah. Certainly if I took a Friday baby and mauled it on, and mauled it on Shabbos, where you even did a mitzvah. Not only were you attempting to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah's been accomplished, meaning you did fulfill the mitzvah, you had no heter to do so on Shabbos, but you did fulfill a mitzvah. And you mean to tell me that in that case, Rabbi Yeshua says that you're gonna be chayev? That doesn't make any sense. So Amri Debe Rabbi Yana, so when Rabbi Yana went over this brisa, meaning Rabbi Meir's understanding, Rabbi Yana put in a really important clause. And that is Reisha Kagon, Shekadam Amal, Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Yeah. The first case of the Mishnah is where you did the Mila Shel Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Meaning, the case is where you flip the babies around. What happened was is that you took the Shabbos baby and you did that bris on the Shabbos baby on Friday. Now, obviously, no good. Meaning, one day too early. But now we understand a lot better. That means to say now that going into Shabbos, is there a bris that's allowed to be done on that Shabbos? The answer is no. And the Gemara says, Shelo nitna Shabbos lidachos. Ah. So under those circumstances now Rabbi Yanai, with Rabbi Yanai's Ukimta, now we totally understand Rabbi Meir's version. Since you took the Shabbos baby and did a meal with it on Friday, so now going into Shabbos, you simply have no mitzvah to do. Meaning the Shabbos baby has already been mauled on Friday, right? Illegitimately, but still, the meal has already been done. And the Friday baby now going into Shabbos does not have a heter because it's Mila Shalab is mano. So now going into that Shabbos, what the Mo'el basically should do is shut it down. There's no Mila to do. And the fact that the Mo'el did a meal on that Shabbos, that's inexcusable. That's why you're going to be chayiv. And both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer agree you're going to be chayiv because basically the Mo'el should have shut it down. V'seifa, however, in the second case of the Mishnah, nitna Shabbos lidachos etzlo. But in the second case of the brisa where it's talking about Shabbos Sunday, so the mole took the Sunday baby and did the bris on Shabbos, but at least there, the mole went into that Shabbos thinking correctly, there is a mila that is to be done that Shabbos. So, hacha, harei nina Shabbos lidachos etzel carbon seaborn. So and the same thing could be said regarding, the carbon seaborn as well. Meaning, when the Kohanim wake up on Shabbos morning, they know there are carbon zebras that are to be brought. Now, granted that the carbon zebra has already been offered and nobody should be offering another carbon as a carbon zebor, totally understandable, but at least now in Reb Meir's thought process, if you go into Shabbos knowing that there has to be violation of Shabbos, so that is enough to create an excuse. So this is now going to be Rabbi Meir's understanding both within the brisa that we just learned, and in our Mishnah as well. So the Gemara says, great. So now we have a good understanding of Rabbi Meir. So Amalei Rav Asher, Rav Kahana, Hachinami, Harei Nina Shabbos Lidachos Eitzel Tinokos Da'ama. So the Gemara says, okay, but can we make the following argument? Meaning when the mo'el goes into Shabbos, in the first case of the Braisa, where there was a Friday Shabbos, there were two babies, one Friday and the other Shabbos, and he by accident took the Shabbos baby, gave it a meal on Friday, which means that on Shabbos now, the mo'el goes into Shabbos shutting it down, meaning what he should now say to himself going into Shabbos is, there's no mealers to be done. Can't you make the argument that maybe he'll get a call? I know he's not going to get a phone call, but isn't it possible that there is going to be a baby somewhere out there in the world who's going to need a bris at Shabbos? So isn't the mo'el on standby? Right, waiting for the phone call for somebody to do the bris. So Amalei Lagabi Dahai Gavra Mia Lo Is Yaiv. The Gemara says no, that's not enough. In other words, vis-a-vis the assigned babies that were given to him, the Friday and the Shabbos baby, because he took the Shabbos baby and did the meal already on Friday. So going into Shabbos, as far as his responsibilities are concerned, there's no meal for him to be done. And the idea that maybe some other baby out there in the world needs a meal, not enough. Just simply insufficient. As just a quick summation of the basic points that we made up until now, so here's how it presents itself. Rabbi Eliezer does not subscribe to Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah at all. Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah will never give a person a pass on violating an issur in the Torah, and even though he was trying to do a mitzvah, it's simply not an excuse according to Rabbi Eliezer, and under all circumstances, the person is going to be chayav. Rabbi Yeshua does subscribe to Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, but with some limitation. Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is enough to excuse him from having to bring a Karban Chatas under the circumstance where the person is trying to do a mitzvah. And also, we're going to add the following. Now, I'm not sure if I made this point clear at any point in time, but it certainly is not too late. According to Rabbi Yeshua, not only there has to be at least an attempt to do a mitzvah, but there also has to be, to a certain degree, an accomplishment of a mitzvah. You have to be Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, plus there is some mitzvah to be done. This idea already expresses itself back in Rashi in the Mishnah, right? Which I have not yet read, but again, it's not too late. If you go all the way back to the Mishnah, and the first time we introduce ourselves to the Shita Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rashi writes over there, Dikasavar Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah V'Asa Mitzvah Koldu. So Rashi writes it over there, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah means that you're trying to do a mitzvah, and to a certain degree, a mitzvah has been accomplished. Right? Consider the cases that we've been covering this morning. The case of the carbon, where I try to offer a carbon as a carbon Pesach, so the Rabbi Yeshua says, Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Well, what mitzvah have you accomplished? You shechted a carbon. Now, granted, of course, it doesn't serve as a carbon Pesach, but you did shecht a carbon, meaning in of itself, that's somewhat of a mitzvah in the case of the Mila. You did a Mila of the Friday baby on Shabbos. So, did you have a heter to do so? No. Did you fulfill a mitzvah? Yeah. You were involved in the mitzvah, and you even fulfilled the mitzvah. So, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to be Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, and you have to accomplish a mitzvah called Dehu. And we're going to add one other point in our summation of Rabbi Yeshua. And on top of that, also there has to be, a plausible explanation of why you're being involved in that mitzvah. I.e., there are so many Kohanim around who, and not just Kohanim, but people around shechting the Karban Pesach, right? Ein lo kitzvah. But in a case where, the Tamid Shel Shachar has already been offered, and now some other Kohen says, you know what? I'm going to offer this as a Karban Tamid. Even though the Tamid Shel Shachar has already been offered, so Rabbi Yeshua says that's not Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Because it's so easy to keep it straight. One Tamid Shel Shachar, which already has been offered. So now you don't get a pass into those circumstances. Fine. And how is that different than the case of the babies? Well, good. So the Gemara just went through a lengthy discussion of why the case of the babies would be different according to Rabbi Yeshua. And finally, in short summation, we had the Shita of Reb Meir. Now, Reb Meir says that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is going to be Pater, even if you don't accomplish anything. Meaning, the case of the Tamid Shel Shachar, where after the Tamid Shel Shachar is offered, so along comes the Kohen and says, you know what? I want to offer the Tamid Shel Shachar, and he offers another carbon as the Tamid Shel Shachar. Reb Meir says, look, he had no heter, but he doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas. Why? That also follows Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir's birth of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is much wider. Meaning you don't have to accomplish any mitzvah whatsoever. Still, that's going to fall under the category of a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. And even if it's something where you really could, it's easy to keep straight. Like in the case of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Like, how, All right, how not with the program is this particular Kohen who is now shechting a carbon after the Tamashah Shachar is offered, and there is only one carbon that's offered. So okay, so he's totally out. He's out for lunch. Still, Rebbe Meir says that's considered Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Good. So the Shitas are Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yoshua, and Rebbe Meir. Let's continue in the Gemara. Sharkol Azvachin Shashachin L'Shem Pesach Imen Ruim Chayv Im Ruim Rebbe Eliezer Mechayv Chatos Rebbe Yoshua Pater Man Tana Deshanilei Vein Ruim L'Shein Ruim. So the Gemara over here just simply wants to further clarify this distinction that we learned in the Mishnah, that a person on Erev Pesach Shabbos took an animal that does not qualify at all as a Karban Pesach, tried to offer it as a Karban Pesach, so that is a perfectly inexcusable act. The person is going to be chayv a Karban Chatos. So who subscribes to that viewpoint? Obviously, the answer is Rabbi Yoshua. But who gives us that version of Rabbi Yoshua? So the Gemara says it's Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon needs to tell you, the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Echad azvachim aruim, ve'echad azvachim she'en aruim, ve'chein ashochel ashem imur etzibur pater. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So first the Shita Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is going to say that the person is excused for, I'm going to say, all actions. And it's not, right, in a vacuum, you know that's not true. But in other words, any Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah excuse, Rabbi Meir says that's enough to excuse him from a Karban Chatos, even if you're taking an animal that can't be offered as a Karban Pesach, right? When you think about it, it's really strange, right? You take a cow, you take a bull, right? Those are not animals that qualify as a Karban Pesach, but you try to shecht as a Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, so you on Erev Pesach Shabbos, so Rabbi Meir says you get a pass. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Lo nechlegu Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, she'inim ruyim shechayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are not going to argue when you're trying to take the cow and shechta as a Karban Pesach. Ama nechlegu al haru'uyin. They're only arguing where you took a goat, where you took a sheep, and specifically one that's male. Only under those circumstances do we have a debate. She Rabbi Eliezer mechayev, chatzis Rabbi Yeshua poter. There we have the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Good. So the Gemara just simply, with this brisa, clarifies that this Mishnah that we just learned together, right in the beginning of Shir, so that is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabibi, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Poter Ayar Rabbi Meir, Afilu Ego Shel Zivchei Shlomim, Sheshachtu L'Shem HaPesach. So we're just going over now the extent of Rabbi Meir, right? The Gemara is kind of like, amazed at the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So the Amorim talk about the extent of Rabbi Meir. And again, by the way, Rabbi Meir is not the accepted Shita, but still, he's in the Masorah. He's part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. And therefore, it's a key in Talmud Torah to learn more about the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So even if one were to take the Ego Shel Zivchei Shlamim and Yeshech L'Shem Pesach, so Rabbi Meir says that's Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, you're going to be Pater. Amale Rabbi Zera L'Rabbi B'Avam Rav Yochanan Moda Ayur Rabbi Meir B'Bali Momen. Now what if you take a blemished animal? So to that, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir would tell you that under those circumstances, you are not going to be, you're not going to be Pater. Meaning there is a limit of Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah according to Rabbi Meir. You take a Baal Mum, you take a blemished animal, try to offer that as a Karban Pesach on an Erev Pesach that coincides with Shabbos, Rav Meir will not give you a pass. Even Rav Meir, who is really generous in terms of what is Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, that is not considered Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, there, I'll explain that. Baal Mumim lo michlefei hani michlefei. You take a blemished animal. Who is offering a Karban as a blemished animal? The answer is nobody. Under no circumstances is it okay, is it acceptable to offer a blemished animal. So there is no justification. So the Gemara says, really? And for Rabbi Meir, as long as it's something which could have been used as a carbon, so then that's enough to legitimize. And legitimize, by the way, it doesn't mean that, I know I've made this point already a couple of times. I'd like to hammer it. And that is, legitimize doesn't mean it's okay. Legitimize just simply means that he's not going to have to bring a Karban Chatos. This doesn't qualify as a shogeg. So you mean to tell me that whether or not it can be confused as carbon or not, that's it? So you take a calf, try to offer it as a Karban Pesach, Reb Meir says you're potter. So over there, confusion, who is going to confuse a calf as a Karban Pesach? Again, for us, we don't have any involvement in the Karban Pesach. So for us, it's, we'd say maybe we would confuse it. Yeah, but if we lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, everybody knows it's rule number one. You want to buy your Karban Pesach, It's either going to be a sheep or a goat. That's it. There's no other carbon that could be offered as a carbon pesach. And you offer a calf as a carbon pesach? Like, there's no hachlafa over there. No one's going to confuse that. So I'm like, so what do you see over here? You see that the operative concept for Rabbi Meir is tirda, meaning the fact that everyone's involved in Karm Pesach. You want to be involved in Karm Pesach, and you're trying to be involved in Karm Pesach. That seems to be the operating factor. So I'm relate. So the Gemara says, fine. You know what? We're both right. Tarid afagav delo michlaf, michlaf afagav delo tarid. So the Gemara says, well, if there's tirda involved, that's enough for a Meir to excuse you from a Karm Chatas. If there is hachlafa involved, that's also going to be enough for a Meir to give you a pass on a karmen chatas. Lafuke bale momem. But if the animal is blemished, you have neither. The lo ichlaf, michlaf, lo mitra tarit. There's no hachlafa. No one's going to confuse this animal as a karban. It's a blemished animal. Everybody knows a blemished animal cannot be offered as a karban. Tirda, who is involved in a blemished animal? The answer, of course, is nobody. Nobody's involved in a blemished animal. So you don't have achlafa, you don't have tirda. That's the limits of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will tell you that for a bal mum animal, it is not going to be offered as a karm pesach. And under those circumstances, Rabbi Meir says that if you offered a bal mum on that Shabbos as a karm pesach, you're going to be chayv a karm chatos. Yasev Rabbi Zev Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Akila de Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak v'yasev v'ka'amri amr Rav Shimon Malakish. A number of Amoraim quote Rabbi Shimon Malakish in the following scenario. Niskalef lo shpushel noser b'shvushel tzli v'ach lo chayev. Let's say you had noser meat in front of you. You thought it was roasted standard carbon meat. You ate it thinking that it was carbon meat. Meanwhile, it was noser meat. And now eating carbon is a mitzvah. Rashi says it really clearly over here. Eating carbon is a mitzvah. You're trying to do the mitzvah of achilas carbon. And meanwhile, it turns out that it was noser. So, Reish Lakish says, chayev, that under those circumstances, you do not fall under the category of toa bidvar mitzvah. And therefore, you're going to be chayev. So says Reish Lakish. Now, Rav Yochanan is going to make a similar statement regarding what is a case of toa bidvar mitzvah, what is the case of not toa bidvar mitzvah. Rav Yochanan, mar ishto nida ba'al chayev. A person has relations with his wife while she's a nida, so you're going to be chayev. Even though having relations with one's wife is a mitzvah, nevertheless, if she's a nida and a man had relations with her at that point in time, again, unknowingly, inadvertently, right? If he did so intentionally, that's an issur karis. We're talking about inadvertently as we've been talking about the entire daf today. So if he did so inadvertently, he's going to be chayev. Yevimto nida ba'al pater. If, however, he's having mitzvah, if he's having bia with his yavama for the first time to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, and she was a nida, so that's toa bidvar mitzvah, and you're going to be pater. Now, there's a couple of points that need clarification over here. Number one, for Rav Yochanan, what's the difference between his wife was a nida and his yavama was a nida? Clearly, Rav Yochanan holds there's a difference. Why is it different? That's one issue that we need to unravel. The other one is the following. Is Rav Yochanan agreeing with Reish Lakish in adding a point? Or is Rav Yochanan disagreeing with Reish Lakish? So the Gemara is going to tackle this issue first. Now, some say that according to Rav Yochanan would say Kolshekein, meaning how much more so? Meaning Rav Yochanan agrees with Reish Lakish and says that in the case of Ishtonida, how much more so? Because in that case over there, he didn't do a mitzvah. Is the Amri Ba'i Pater my time Hasam who the Havile Lishule of a Hachalilo Havile Lishule lo? Or maybe no. Maybe Rav Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and the difference is the following. In the case of Reish Lakish, we're talking about a Kohen now eating meat thinking it was carbon, meaning carbon that you're supposed to eat, and meanwhile it was no sir. So over there, Rav Yochanan would say, look, right, the person was trying to do a mitzvah. And now he made a mistake. But he made a mistake and he was trying to do a mitzvah. So over there, and he had nobody to ask. Now, right? I'm sure somebody over there knew, but meaning the meat obviously being an inanimate object, so he can't ask the meat. Are you nosar? Are you kachim? So over there. So the fact that he was trying to do a mitzvah and there was no feedback coming from the meat that he was eating. So there. So he gets a pass. Meaning, this is arguing that Rav Yochanan would disagree with Reish Lakish. On the other hand, in the case of the Nida, his wife is a Nida, so that's a person. You can ask, right? Are you a Nida or you're not a Nida? So over there, you do not get a pass in the case of Ishto Nida. So we have two versions in terms of whether Rav Yochanan agrees with Reish Lakish or disagrees with Reish Lakish. Fine. And Rav Yochanan, Maishna Yevinta, Dekavin Mitzvah, Isha Nami Dekavin Mitzvah. So the Gemara now wonders, fine. So as far as whether Rav Yochanan agrees or disagrees with Reish Lakish, open for a debate. And now as far as Rav Yochanan's position himself, a man has relations with his wife who's an Ida, so there that's not Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. A man has wife relations with his Yavama for the first time, that's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. What's the difference? In both cases, one is doing a mitzvah. So be ishtom u'baris. So the Gemara says, well, with his wife, the Gemara assumes right now that the mitzvah is per revu, and his wife is already pregnant. The Gemara says, va'ika simcha zona. So the Gemara says, yeah, but relations between husband and wife is not just limited to creating children, although that is a mitzvah, but also there's a mitzvah of ona. In Ksuvas, we're going to be discussing this extensively. So the Gemara says, shlo b'shas onasa. The Gemara says, well, maybe it's too frequent, and therefore it's not a mitzvah. The Gemara says, va'amar rav achayv adam asamech ishto b'dvar mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even if it's more than the schedule. Now, if you're curious to know what the schedule is, so we're gonna see that together in Ksuvas, in terms of what is the schedule regarding husband and wife. But even if you're going above and beyond what the schedule is, so that also is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Samach Levesta. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe it's right during during her period where she's expecting her to be a nida. So Yachi Afilu Yivimto Nami. So the Gemara says, okay, so aren't we going to say the same thing regarding Givama? Meaning you can't parse the cases. You can't say that in one case we're talking about one ukimta, in another case we're talking about another ukimta. So as much as we're saying that in the case of his wife, it's Samach Levesta, it's right around the time where she's expecting her to be a nida. So we have to say the same thing regarding Yavama as well. So the Gemara says, Yavimto buzzes mine, ishtala buzzes mine. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over here, a simple psychological distinction to be made. And that is with his wife, who has been with historically in the past, and they're very comfortable with one another, so he's not embarrassed to ask her, right? Are you nida or you're not a nida? On the other hand, when it comes to the Yavama, so it is understandably a really awkward situation, in which now they're going to be intimate for the first time together, and understandably it's going to be uncomfortable for him to ask her, are you nida or not? So that is considered a Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, and it is somewhat excusable in that Rav Yochanan acknowledges how uncomfortable it would be for him to ask her. Okay, now, V'Rav Yochanan Keman. Good. So we just learned that according to Rav Yochanan, there is a case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, notably the case of the Yavama. Now, does Rav Yochanan agree with Reish Lakish's case where the person's trying to eat kachem and ends up eating nosar? So, open-ended question. But according to Rav Yochanan, there certainly is a case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. Limited as it may be, in that in the case of his wife, that's not a case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, but if a man has relations with his Yavama while she's an Ida, that's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, now Rav Yochanan, who could we line him up with? And what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to give us an assortment of Tanayim who are going to subscribe to this idea of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah and just simply to attach Rav Yochanan to one of the upcoming Tanayim. We're gonna pause over here because we're going to go through a whole assortment of Tanayim. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehoshua, a second Rebbe Yehoshua, a third Rebbe Yehoshua. So, right, obviously from this point forward, the Gemara is going to go on for some time. And so it's not the best place to pause, but we're going to pause over here. And let's quickly recap our daf today. Our daf today, a really exciting daf. I mean, every daf is exciting, but a really exciting daf in the concept of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah to excuse somebody from having to bring a carbon chatas. Our Mishnah scenario is that Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbos, and a person is trying to shecht a carbon Pesach. He's just doing a really poor job. Right? First, in the case where he takes a carbon Pesach and shechts it as another carbon, so that's not Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah at all. He's not trying to accomplish any mitzvah altogether. In fact, he's doing the opposite. So under those circumstances, so for sure, he's going to be chayav karban chatas. However, if he takes another animal, which was already assigned as another karban, and tries to shecht it as a karban Pesach, so here we have a full-blown machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yehoshua, and Rebbe Meir, in terms of whether or not such an individual has to bring a karban chatas for having violated Shabbos. And again, just quickly to summarize the positions. Rebbe Eliezer says that there is no concept of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. It seems like he just dismisses the concept out of hand. Rebbe Yehoshua subscribes to Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, excusing the person from having to bring a carbon chatas. Again, to hammer it one more time, not legitimizing the action. The action is still a violation of Shabbos, but in the very least understanding that he was trying to do a mitzvah and therefore gets a pass from having to bring a carbon chatas. But again, Rebbe Yehoshua's position is mitigated by the fact that it has to be where everyone's involved and everyone's doing the mitzvah and it's ain lo kitzvah and there's no set amount. And so under those circumstances, Rabbi Yeshua says that's Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Meir gives the widest berth of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Even when a Kohen tries to offer a carbon as a carbon tamid, after the Tamid Shel Shachar has already been offered, and it's really not that hard to keep track of one carbon. And Rabbi Meir says, even under those circumstances, that also is going to follow the case of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. In terms of summary, the Mishnahs go over many other cases. We're going to go back to them. We're going to come back to the Mishnah tomorrow's daf. So I'll wait till tomorrow to review the Mishnah. In terms of our Gemara today, first topic of discussion, the first case of the Mishnah, taking Karm Pesach and shechting it as another Karban. So was that done B'Taos or was that in Akira? Gemara's conclusion, it was done by Akira. What about when you take another animal and try to offer it as a Karban Pesach? Is that Akira? No, that's a case of Toa. First case of the Mishnah is Akira. Second case of the Mishnah is Taos. And the Gemara's answer is yes. Having reviewed it 40 times, well, we didn't, but one of the Amorim did, that the Reisha Ba'okir, Seifa Ba'taus. Good, and then the Gemara just simply follows up with whether or not we can actually see that in the Mishnah. Next part of today's daf, Ein Beis Amud Aleph, and the halfway mark, is a further analysis of Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Yeshua says that's Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, but only in a case of Ein Lo Kitzvah. How is this different than the case of the babies on Shabbos, where you have a milah to do, and you have two babies, and one milah was legitimate, and actually had a bona fide heter, and the other one was illegitimate. Under those circumstances, Rabbi Yeshua says, you're pater. There are only two babies to keep track of. Isn't that a case of yesh lo kitzvah? And the Gemara goes ahead and spells out a difference to be made between the cases here in Pesachim versus the case over there in Shabbos, and why in that case in Shabbos, Rabbi Yoshua calls that a case of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, even though there are only two babies to keep track of. Then as we turn to the Amud Beis, so the Gemara investigated more in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, even if you take a calf and try to offer that as a Karban Pesach, so Rabbi Meir says that's also going to be considered a case of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. According to Rabbi Meir, Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, as long as you're trying to do a mitzvah, even though what you accomplish is really zero, still according to Rabbi Meir, that would be Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Does Rabbi Meir have a limit to his position? And the answer is yes. Unequivocally yes. The Gemara's example is, let's say a person tries to take a balmum, a blemished animal, offering that as a karban. Rabbi Meir will say that you cannot call that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. You're not going to confuse that with any other animal. You can't say that you were torahed under those circumstances. Good, that's the limits of Rabbi Meir. And finally, the shitas of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, halfway down on Ein Beis Amud Beis, where Reish Lakish gives an example of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. You ate what you thought was bona fide, was legitimate carbon to be eaten, and meanwhile, it was nosar. So Reish Lakish says, that's Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Rav Yochanan says, a man has relations with his wife who's a nida. That's not Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Having relations with a Yavama for the first time, that is considered Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. So two issues that we dealt with at the end of today's daf. One, does Rav Yochanan agree with Reish Lakish? Open-ended question. The Gemara argues in both directions. Two, what's the difference between Ishto Nida and Yavimto Nida? And the Gemara says the difference is that by Ishto Nida, he should have asked her. He's comfortable with his wife. He should have asked her. As opposed to Yavama, where there, understandably, he was too embarrassed to ask. And now, what we leave ourselves off with, which we're going to start tomorrow, is that this Shita of Rav Yochanan is following which Tana? So that's where we're going to finish up, Emir Sashem, in tomorrow's daf.